Thanks for listening in to the Calvary Podcast, coming to you from Miami, Florida. We're so glad you've joined us. We hope today's message will encourage you and remind you that God is with you and He's for you. Here's today's message.
Beginning in verse 12, if you're there, can you say amen? We're going to put the verses up on the screen if you don't have a Bible. Paul writing, under the power of the Holy Spirit, he writes this. Beginning in verse 12, the word of the Lord says this. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into what? Can we say that like we had a croqueta, a coffee? Come on. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weak are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greatest honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. We're gonna pause there. We'll talk about this for a few minutes. I wanna talk out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, those few verses we read. I do believe Paul is stating some doctrinal truths that are good to know today, and I do believe it's connected to the resurrection of Jesus. Today, as we're talking about changes, week number 3, I wanna talk to you from this title, The Great Assembly, The Great Assembly. I want you to high five 3-4 people around you and tell them we're part of the great assembly. Come on, look at somebody in the eyes and tell them you are part of the great assembly. The great assembly. We're gonna pray. We'll talk about the great assembly for the next 27 minutes. And then we're gonna worship Jesus one more time. How good was worship today? I loved it. I love our worship team. So we're gonna worship Jesus one more time and then go see the Heat take game 1. Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Thank you for this day. Come on, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for this day, God. Thank you for all that you've given us. Thank you for new mercies, new grace. Thank you for the body, the church. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for the church around the world that is meeting today, giving you praise. We're so thankful for your house, your family, your body. And today we pray that you open up our eyes. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you do what only you can do, that you come encouraging, giving life where there is no light, giving direction where there is no direction, giving hope where there is no hope. Lift up our heads that our eyes may see you and you alone today, God. We thank you and we love you. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that all of God's people say, amen. Come on, all of God's people say, amen. 10 a.m., can you make some noise for Jesus? Come on. I want to talk for a moment about the importance of connection. Can you say that with me? Come on. The importance of connection. To be connected is absolutely important. And you don't know how important connection is until you are disconnected. You ever been disconnected from Wi-Fi and you're trying to order the next Amazon package after 30 has already been delivered to your house? And Wi-Fi, it's important to be connected. To be connected across any area of life is absolutely vital. And I think we don't understand how important connection is until you experience disconnection. I was walking my one-year-old daughter the other day, Aria. Another daughter story, yes. I'm taking Aria out, and we built, when I say we built, I built it with X and Arnold, two leaders here, they came over to our house for Aria's birthday. And we put together this little toy car for Aria that she gets to sit in, and I take her all around the neighborhood. But I'm not the best toy builder. I don't like building toys. I'm not a good handyman. I'd rather build a church, you know what I'm saying? That was so lame. I'm not good at building toy cars. And so I'm taking Aria around the neighborhood, and she's getting to that age where she's just grabbing everything, pulling everything, and she decides to grab the steering wheel and yank it back. And apparently, I didn't build it well, because when she yanked the steering wheel, it came off and it stayed in her hands. And she's at that age where she's processing and reasoning too, so she starts looking back like, she knows something's not right because the steering wheel is now in her hands, not connected to the car. And I'm like, don't worry about it, baby, you're good. I'll steer it for you. And there I thought about the importance of connection. When the steering wheel became disconnected, she now lost all control of what she could do with the vehicle because she was no longer connected to the toy car. I think some of us don't understand how important it is to be connected to the body of Jesus. Connection is absolutely important, and you will understand it when you experience the results of disconnection. I think many of us, many Christians, some of us, we've been walking with Jesus for a year, 5 years, 10 years, 20, 30, 40 years, we've been walking with Jesus. I think so many times we get into this mentality, this mindset that I have a personal relationship with God. Right, we hear people say that, I've said that, we've said that, and I think that's absolutely true. We do have a personal relationship with God. But while that is true, what is also true is that it is not a private relationship with God. It is a personal, but it is also a public relationship with people. We are connected to Jesus, but we are also connected to people. That is just Bible. That is just doctrinally true. Now, I think a lot of us, what we say is that I love God, I love Jesus. I'm not so sure about people. You ever met somebody like that? You love God. You don't know if you love people. You don't have to point at them. I know they might be sitting next to you, but people can get on our nerves. People are difficult to deal with. Anybody know some annoying people, some people that are challenging? Anybody ever been challenged by people? But that does not mean we have the right to disassociate or disconnect from people. Disconnection actually brings very bad results. I put it this way, disconnection affects direction. We have to be very careful from disconnecting, because when you disconnect, especially to the body or to the church of Jesus Christ, you actually start to become weaker in your faith. You get isolated. I have not in my 40 years of life ever met, I know I look younger, thank you. I have never met somebody who has disconnected or disassociated from the body of Christ and still remained on fire by themselves. You will only remain on fire for a certain limit at a time. You grab a charcoal coal that's on fire, an ember, and you separate it from the fire. Sooner or later, it goes out quicker than those that are together. And so some of us today, we've experienced disconnection. We've isolated because people have done us wrong, because people have betrayed us, because we've been hurt by church. Church hurt, that's a famous phrase now. Leaders have done us wrong, and absolutely, there are individuals who are absolutely wrong, and they've done wrong in the name of Christ, but that does not mean we can divorce or disassociate or disconnect ourselves from the body of Jesus. Because it is what he's building, it's what he's a part of. So if you are connected to Jesus, you are connected to the body of Jesus. And if there's anything that the enemy wants to do, is to disconnect you and I from the body of Christ. We have an enemy, Satan. He's the enemy of the soul. And if there's anything that he wants to do in my life or in your life, is start to put things in our mind, in our heart, in our spirit that say, yeah, you know what? I actually don't like so-and-so. I don't like that they didn't have my parking space today near Circle Cafe. I don't like that when I walked in, my seat wasn't reserved. I've been in this church for 13 years. Every Sunday I sat in this seat, but today somebody else took it. And we start to make minors majors, and those majors start to separate us from the body of Christ, from where the church is, where the flame of Christ is. I want to tell you today that the devil is a liar. I don't know what's happened in the past. I don't know who did what. I want to say I'm sorry for whoever hurt you, but I want to tell you that there is a church that is alive. There is a body that he is building. It's the church of Jesus Christ. It's the church that worships. It's the church that prays. It's the church. It's the great assembly. Come on, anybody thankful for the church of Jesus? I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for people in my life that have been next to me, prayed for me, believed in me. Come on, when I had no faith, they had faith for me. When I was down and out, they picked me up. Anybody thankful for good people around your life? Come on, that's the great assembly of God. And today, I really believe that some of us, we're missing out on all that God wants to give us because we think we can do this alone. In fact, I put it this way, if you want to live correctly, then you need to live connected. In fact, I'll say there is no option. You need to be connected to what God is building if you really want to live correctly. Resurrection changes everything. Resurrection is not a one-day event. It's a daily lifestyle. It changes how we live. We now have a new source. Week one, we said we have the Bible. Week two, we have a new identity. Last week, today, we have a new family as the body of Jesus Christ. It is the great assembly. If you want to live a complete, full life, if you want to be strong, you got to be surrounded, connected by the body of Christ. Can I get an amen? Paul is giving this picture in this letter that he's writing to the church in Corinth. Now, if you don't know a lot about 1 Corinthians, there was a city named Corinth, and Paul was visiting different cities, and every city he would go to, he would cause a revival. Literally, people would begin to get saved. And if you want to read about the history about the church of Corinth, you would have to go to Acts chapter 18 to see when Paul got there and he began to preach the gospel, and this church began in Acts chapter 18. After some time, he moves on because he's planting churches and preaching the gospel everywhere. But the church there in Corinth begins to thrive. Now, Corinth is a wild city. I know we think Miami's a wild city, but Corinth is Miami on steroids. Like, Corinth was absolutely crazy. It was wild, and it started to infiltrate into the church. This is why we have to be careful when we allow things into our life that we don't know our worldly customs. And they get into our life, but things of the world cannot belong in the body of Christ. And so this begins to happen in Corinth. And Paul gets reports back, hey, the church is wild. They're actually fighting. They're in division. Some guy is sleeping with his stepmom. It is absolutely, it's wild. It's church gone wild, right? It's absolutely crazy. They're fighting over what they can eat and what they can eat. They're fighting over who the leader is. Like, this church is divided. There is scandal after scandal. They get together for communion and people are getting drunk off the wine in church. There's a point where Paul says, it's worse when you get together. Imagine that. It's worse on Sundays. Like, this is just absolutely bad. And so Paul says, I'm going to address some of the issues that are happening in the church. So he writes this letter, 1 Corinthians. Are you following me so far? And he's going to correct. This is a letter of correction. And he begins to address some of these things. And he's like, hey, by the way, we don't follow Apollos, myself, or Peter. We follow Jesus. He says, hey, by the way, if food is sacrificed to idols and you have faith to eat it, it's not going to bother you. Eat the food that was offered to whatever God in faith. It's not going to do any effect. But if your brother is affected, then don't eat it in front of him. But we're people and we love to instigate and bother one another. This was offered to who? You don't like it? And it's like, you don't got to do that. And he gets to this point in Corinthians where he's talking about love. Somebody say love. And he says, love should be the basis of our relationship with one another. And so he gets to this point in chapters 11 all the way to 14 where he starts talking about spiritual gifts. And he's saying, some of you are divided over spiritual gifts because you think because you teach or you prophesy or you're a bigger giver, you are better than so-and-so. And it's causing division in the church. And you are not operating out of love. And I think that's a good reminder for our church today. It does not matter what we bring to the table. It does not matter what part we all play. We have to understand we are part of the great assembly. It is the body of Jesus Christ. Anybody thankful for the church? Come on. And what we need is a united church. Heard a preacher a long time ago say, the devil's not afraid of a big church. He's afraid of a united church. It doesn't matter how big we get if we're all divided. Come on, we need to be together. One mind, one spirit, one body, one accord, one message. Jesus, the resurrection. Come on, that is what we proclaim. And so he's saying, you need to get it together and you need to be united. And he's addressing this new thing called the church. Somebody say the church. Now, when we talk about church in our English language, we actually have done it a disservice because we actually reduce it down to a building. But that is not what the church means. When Paul is writing this letter, he's writing in Greek. It was their common language. In fact, it was common Greek. And the word he uses there in the original manuscripts is the word ekklesia. Somebody say ekklesia. The word ekklesia does not mean building. It's not mean building. Actually, the word church comes from a German derivative of ekklesia in German. And so it's actually been changed a little bit. And we think now a building. But you got to think how Paul wrote this. The word ekklesia actually means assembly. Assembly. Another word for that is a gathering. Somebody say a gathering. So when Paul is writing to the church, he's talking about a group of people that are gathered together. In fact, the right definition would be something like this. It's a gathering of citizens called out from their homes into some public place. It's an assembly. Are you following me so far? Okay, so the church is not a building. The church is a people. In fact, the word ecclesia was used for all types of gatherings. It wasn't just Christian or religious. In fact, in the book of Acts, one time there's a mob of people that get angry at Paul because they burned up. All the guys stopped making idol worships. And so they get upset at Paul for preaching the gospel. And a mob is formed and they are all go outside a theater to kill Paul. And the word used for that mob is the word ecclesia because it's a gathering of people who have all come out with one purpose. Now, when Paul now speaks about you and I as the church, he calls us the ecclesia. And we have not been called out by a government agency. We have not been called out by some government program. We're all not here together because of some of our own ideas or thoughts. We've been called out by God. We are his ecclesia. That is the difference, that we're not gathered here to come up with your plan or your model or your title or whatever mission or vision is your. We are here because we follow God's idea. Come on, we are God's assembly. We are God's ecclesia. We've been called out. Some of us were blind. Some of us were drunk. Some of us were lost, but he called us out. Anybody glad that he called you out? Come on, he called me from the miry clay. He put my feet upon the rock, and now I'm part of the great assembly. I'm part of that church that he's building. Come on, we are part of the ecclesia. We are part of the assembly that's been called out. We are a people that all work together with one purpose, and that is to tell the world that Jesus Christ is alive. We are not here so that people know Calvary. We are not here to build nice titles for our own selves. We're not here so that people can look at your gift or my gift and how cool we are. We are here so that people see that Jesus is Lord. He is the Messiah. There is no other one like him. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it confused. Jesus is the message. Jesus is the one that we praise. Jesus is the one that we exalt. Jesus is the one that we worship. Jesus is the one that gets all the glory. Somebody give him some praise today. And so, humanity, we love to put our hands into things and we make the assembly about us. But the assembly was never about us. It was always about Jesus. And so God is building a people. So today, we don't attend the building. We belong to a people. And so in our English language, the word church is, yeah, today I went to church. No, we don't go to church. We are the church. So today, when the Heat beat the Celtics, and afterwards you're hanging out with friends, they're like, what'd you do today? Oh, you know, I'm part of the church. So I gathered with my church. I didn't go to church. I am the church. You don't go to church. You are the church. You're part of the body of Jesus Christ. In fact, John, the Apostle John, in the Island of Patmos, when he's getting the vision of the end times, and he sees a vision of what it looks like, in Revelation chapter 7, he gets a picture of the great assembly. In fact, this is where we get the word great assembly. David used it in the Old Testament. Some of the prophets used it. It meant something back then, a gathering of leaders and pastors or priests. But in the New Testament, it's all of us together, because we're all priests. And so John gets this picture in Revelation chapter 7. He says, after this, I looked, And there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and they were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. In other words, at the end of time, John sees a vision that one day every single one of us are going to be standing before God. And it didn't matter if you were Pentecostal, Lutheran, Methodist, it didn't matter if you were a Baptist. It didn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, white or black, red or yellow. We are all children in his sight. Every tribe, every nation. We are the great assembly before the throne of Christ. You and I are standing together with the great message. We are the assembly. We are the church. We are the body of Jesus together. Amen. Tell your neighbor, we're part of the great assembly. And so this is what Paul is addressing. He's saying, you are part of the body. Stop making divisions amongst yourselves over who is greater. Nobody's greater because you're a teacher or a prophet, or you can encourage really well, or you gave really well. So people hold on to titles and they're like, well, you know, I'm a prophet, so I'm above everybody. Sit your prophet self down for a moment, because we're all part of the great assembly. I'm a part of the great assembly. You're a part of the great assembly. Now, how many know that where there's people, there's problems? Not in this service, thank God, but in other services, where there's people, there's problems. And so have there been problems in the church? Absolutely, there's been problems in the church. Throughout history, there's been problems in the church. There's actually this famous phrase today that people use called church hurt. And they're using it to disconnect or disassociate with God's people. Well, because I've been church hurt, I no longer attend church. I belong to Jesus, but I don't go to church because the church is all full of hypocrites and all that. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. There's space for more. Join us. We're all hypocrites. All of us are sinners in need of grace every single day. And so I get it that there's problems. I love the way my friend Nathan says it. He says, but on the worst day, the church is still the best thing for the world. You can criticize it. You can talk about it. You can say all that. For sure, there's been individual people that have done wrong in the world in the name of Jesus. But the church is still the greatest living organism on the face of the earth. We are feeding more people on planet earth than any other organization. We are helping out more people on the earth than any other type of organism. Come on, it's the church of Jesus Christ that is changing the world. It's the church of Jesus Christ that adds value to humanity. It's the church of Jesus Christ that cares about people from the womb to the tomb. It's a church of Jesus Christ that stands for morals, principles, values. Come on, it's a church that we're a part of. Yes, it's done wrong. Yes, people have done wrong, but it's still the best thing in the world. It's the church of Jesus Christ. And so you want to throw away the church, you got to throw away Jesus with it because it's connected. You cannot say you love Jesus, but don't like the church. That's just an oxymoron. It's self-contradictory. You can't. In fact, it's exactly what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So I would tell you today, if you've been hurt, if you've been offended by some leaders in a church, find another church, another assembly where you find some good people. But please be consistent with that across your life. If you say, no, I'm giving up on it. You don't give up on restaurants just because you had one bad service. I've gone to restaurants. I've gone to terrible service. The food was cold. It took forever. I don't say I'm never going to a restaurant ever again. You better believe I'm gonna be at Cheesecake Factory that Friday. Are you following me? But we only do this with church because what we don't want is accountability. What we don't want is connection with people who might step on our toes. And I've had leaders that have done wrong. Absolutely. I've had leaders who have done me wrong and talked about and all that. But I don't put that on Jesus. I put that on humanity. But I still love the church of Jesus Christ. And I'm a part of it. And I want to be involved in what God is doing. Are you following me, Calvary? So what do we do? Resurrection changes everything. Week one, we said resurrection changes how we live our life because we no longer do what we want to do. We actually have a guidebook now called the Bible. Somebody say the Bible. We talked about that in week one. It's the path of change. The Bible now instructs us on how to live. Resurrection, because Jesus resurrected, I no longer do whatever I want to do. I go to the wisdom book. I go to God's book. It's the path of change. Week number two, last week, Pastor Phil preached an incredible message. The world is an identity crisis, but I've been crucified with Christ, and the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. Resurrection means that now I also resurrect into a new life, and I know my identity in Jesus now. And then week number three today, as we continue changes, because of the resurrection, we now have a new family. We are not individuals who do whatever we want. We now belong to the family of God. It's because of the resurrection, the early church started gathering together. They started sharing everything, helping out one another. The resurrection changed everything. So I'm not Mr. Solo Dolo anymore. I now belong to the body of Christ. And this is what the enemy will do. Three things the enemy will do. And this is how he'll disconnect us: with disengagement, disillusion, and disagreements. The enemy will lie. He'll say, hey, remember what they did to you in this church? Hey, they didn't have your parking spot. Hey, the way this leader spoke. So what you'll do is you'll start to disengage. I'm telling you, in the years that I've been in church, all 40 years, my mom almost gave birth to us in the church. I've been in church my whole life. I've seen people begin to disengage. I'm going to go to church this Sunday. I'll go next Sunday. I'm a little comfy right now. I'm watching online. Nothing wrong with watching online. But there's something different about being in a room with believers that just does something to your faith. It's the way God designed it. I'm going to start to disengage. It's a lie from the enemy. Number two, disillusion. I just thought it was going to be different. I thought I was going to have all these opportunities and blah, blah, blah. And we have all these expectations that may not be real. And when people fail us, we put that on Jesus. We put that on him, but don't put it on Jesus. It's people, and people are going to be wrong wherever you go. So we got to learn how to forgive. In fact, this is why the body is good, because we learn how to forgive and help out one another and move on. Which obviously leads to number three, disagreements. And because of disagreements, we disassociate or disconnect. And there's been disagreements over everything. Can you baptize kids? Can you not baptize kids? Should you actually do this? And there we see all types of now, different types of churches, but it's all one church. But we let the disagreements get in between. And it's like, can we stop worrying about if Jesus is coming tomorrow, the next month, in 5 years? Nobody knows, he said. So if you want to be pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, whatever trib, we're all going to be in heaven together with Jesus at some point. Can we celebrate the majors and not focus on the minors? And can we all be united as the body of Christ? Is he coming on a white horse or a black horse, purple horse, pink horse? We don't know. What do you believe? I believe in baby baptism. You don't. You're Methodist. I'm Lutheran. I'm this. I'm that. We are just the great assembly of Christ. We are all together. So I'm not going to make a major out of a minor. The only major is Jesus. He overcame sin and death for me. So I'm just here to make praise out of him. But we love to just divide over minor issues. Today, we got to remember we're part of the great assembly, whether we like it or not. So what does resurrection do? It does three things. I'll finish with these three things. It means I belong, I bring, I build. I belong, I bring, I build. I'm going to say it one more time. I belong, I bring, I build. Come on, all together. I belong, I bring, I build. One more time. I belong, I bring, I build. What do I mean by that? The keys are already playing. Danielle's trying to rush me out. What does that mean? Number one, it means I belong. What does that mean? Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when he's talking about the division in the body over spiritual gifts, he says, hey, you're part of the body. Today, I don't know if you feel part of the body or not, but I want to tell you, you belong to the body. As soon as you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you confess him as Lord, as Savior, automatically you got included, grafted in to the family of God. It didn't matter if you had Social Security. It didn't matter if you had the right money. It didn't matter what kind of background you came from. Because of our faith in Christ, we got included to the body of Jesus. And you and I now belong to a body. So it's impossible to say, I belong to Jesus, but not to the body. You can't separate the two. You can't be connected to the body and yet be, I mean, to the head and then be disconnected to the body. Try that. You won't live very long. Friday evening, I get home, and I talked about my dog, Maggie. She's crazy. She's psychotic. And Friday, it's probably about 6 in the evening, and I go to my backyard, and I see Maggie's in this corner between two bricks, and she's going crazy, and I pull her off. Maggie's a hunter. She loves killing lizards. And so I pull her off, and all I see over this little brick is a little tail wiggling. It had been disconnected from the body. I know, gross, but just bear with me. The little tail's wiggling, and after a couple seconds, it died. I looked at Maggie. I'm like, the lizard escaped, but all she got was the tail. Sooner or later, the tail stops wiggling, and it begins to die because it's been disconnected from the body. So many Christians want to disconnect themselves from the body, but I'm telling you, you'll have life for a little bit, but your spiritual life won't last very long. If you are connected to Jesus, you automatically become connected to the body. And I know the body may be annoying, it may frustrate you at times, but it's what he's building, is what he's perfecting, is what he's doing. You and I belong to a body. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says, God put everything under Christ's feet and made him head of everything in the church, which is his body. The church is the fullness of Christ, which fills everything in every way. I love that picture, and ask for a couple examples that hopefully can help you. But a puzzle is incomplete if a piece is out. You and I each play a piece in the body of Jesus. What he's saying there is that the church of Jesus Christ, when together, we make the fullness of Jesus. This is a beautiful, profound picture of what Paul is saying. He's saying, when we gather, you can see the resurrection because you see the body of Jesus alive. That's beautiful. Yesterday when we went all throughout the city, the world is seeing the body of Jesus moving, walking, talking. So you and I are a picture of resurrection. If we're separated, it looks like Jesus never resurrected because we're divided over who has what and who does what. And so we're never together, and so the body is never moving, functioning on earth. Not only did Jesus resurrect physically, he has now given us the spirit of resurrection so that when we belong to the body, we now act as the body. We move as the body. We help as the body. We love as the body. But you need to belong. You need to be connected, not disconnected. And so, for example, I'll tell you how profound this is. What we just read, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, he says, we were all baptized into the body. In other words, you weren't just baptized to Jesus, you were baptized to the body. And so when we talk about baptism Sunday, which is going to happen in 2 weeks, it doesn't just mean you got baptized and, yeah, you came from death to life. It also means I now belong to this community. What does that mean now? It's no longer a personal relationship. It is personal, but also pooled together with people. It is personal, but it is also public. So now, what does that mean? I have accountability with brothers and sisters. I have my faith in God, my relationship with God, but I also have my relationship with the body. So I'll take it a step further. When we do baby dedications, everybody loves doing baby dedications. It's so cute. Can I bring my baby? Your baby's 14. That's not a baby anymore, but so can I bring my baby? He's 35. That baby needs a job and he needs to move out. I'm kidding, right? We bring babies up here, and what we love is we love the blessing, but we don't want the accountability. Baby dedications is not just presenting it before God, it's also presenting it before the church. It's the body. Literally, you know what we do in baby dedications? We're saying, hey, you hold me accountable, and I hold you accountable, that we're going to raise these babies in the ways of God. Because we are one body, one church. We are the ecclesia, the great assembly. I belong to a body. So today, if you're living on your own, individual, no accountability, nobody in your life to check how your marriage is, your finances are, your life is going. It's not people trying to be nosy. It's that we belong together. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. Once you were a people. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I love that verse. Peter says, once you weren't a people, you belonged to your own family. And all of us have little families that we come from and different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different countries. He says, but now because you believe in Jesus, you became a follower of Christ, you are now God's people. And basically, the whole theme across the New Testament is this, adoption. Somebody say adoption. We have been adopted by God into a new family. Which means, whether you like it or not, you have new brothers and sisters. Look at the person next to you and tell them, you're my brother, you're my sister. You may not like it, but that's your brother and that's your sister. That's right. That's right. Our family is growing every Sunday. Everybody thankful for that? Come on, we got a growing family. Now, as a family, disagreements are going to happen. As a family, we may not like certain family members, and that's my crazy cousin or whatever it is, right? But guess what? We're going to hold each other accountable. We're going to love. He says, if one suffers, we all suffer. If one rejoices, we all rejoice. This is not a club. This is a body. We don't belong to a building. We belong to a people. So today, who's in your life? We've been adopted. He's adopted us into a family. It's one of the most beautiful things. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. We all belong to our own little families. We were all separate. We were all lost. We were all confused. And now in God, we all now belong. Number one, I belong. Number two, I bring. Not only do I belong to the body, I also bring to the body. I bring to the body. What does that mean? Is that God has also skilled you, gifted you, given you certain things that the body needs. And so you need the body, but the body needs you. We need each other. He says the hand can't say to the feet, I got no need of you. You need your feet. And the feet can't say to the head, I don't need you. You need your head. Right? We need each other. And what we need to be careful is as Christians not to fall under this prideful assumption that so-and-so is not needed. I don't know what they're doing here. We don't need them. Everybody brings something to the table. Everybody brings something to the body of Christ. And so what was happening in Corinth, which happens today, is that we say so-and-so shouldn't belong here. They don't got no money. So-and-so shouldn't belong here. You should see where they come from. So-and-so, do you see their lifestyle? And it's like, who are you to judge? It was by love that we've been adopted into the family. Let it be by love that we all bring something to the table and we all rejoice with one another. Come on, it's the love of Jesus that forgave us. It's the love of Jesus that adopted us. It's the love of Jesus that brought us to the table. Who are we now to say you can't bring whatever gift it is? All of us have a gift. Today, what do you bring? All of us have a gift. There's some people here that you've been skilled, gifted, with things that other people in this room don't have across all four services. And we need each individual gift. Paul, talking about it, says in Romans chapter 12, so in Christ, we, though many, we form one. Come on, it's the same kind of theme along the New Testament. We're one body. And each member belongs to what? Wow, I don't belong to myself anymore. I belong to the body. We belong to others. So what does that mean? We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Now, if your gift is to prophesy, then prophesy in accordance to your faith. If it is to serve, then serve. If it is to teach, then. If it is to encourage, then give. If it is to give, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. Right? What Paul is saying, whatever gift you have, guess what? You are no longer just an individual. You also belong to the body. Peter writes this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to what? Come on, 10 a.m. I know you got some energy in there. We're going to be screaming later for the heat to win. Come on. Whatever you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Now, look at that verse. He says, as faithful stewards, we're about to finish. Listen to me. He's saying, you and I are faithful stewards. The word he uses means manager. Stewards mean manager. In other words, we are not faithful owners of the gift. We are faithful managers of the gift. So I have a gift that God has given me. I manage it on behalf of God. He's given me the responsibility to manage the gift. I am a manager on behalf of God of the skills, talents that he's put on the inside of me. And if you are a faithful steward, that means you can also be an unfaithful manager. And I wonder how many of us have been unfaithful managers by not bringing our encouragement, by not bringing our teaching abilities, by not bringing our hospitality, by not bringing to the body whatever. I just don't belong, I also bring. And if I don't bring, God will hold me accountable. Today, maybe you're like, I've been disconnected. I don't like the church. I don't like the people in the church. I don't like them all. I know. But you can't pick that. You belong to Jesus. You belong to the body. And guess what? Not only do you belong to the body, you bring to the body whatever gift it is. Hey, if you can prophesy, we need you to prophesy. Hey, if you can teach, if you can encourage. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for all the encouragers we have opening up doors from parking kids, all that are smiling with signs. And maybe you're annoyed at your kids because they took forever to get ready. Maybe you were on the way to church, you got mad because somebody spilled coffee. Maybe your wife took forever to get ready to church and you're fighting and you're like, I just can't stand you. How many times are we gonna run late to the church? And as soon as you get off, you're like, hey, good morning, brothers and sisters, love you. And then you're coming in through the doors and there's some encouragers at the door that say, hey, this is the day that the Lord has made. Come on, we are the great assembly. Welcome to the church of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for encouragers. I'm thankful for those that give hospitality. I'm thankful for teachers, prophets. Come on, can we thank God for the body, the great assembly? Each one bring in their gift. Tell your neighbor, you got a gift. I belong. Come on, we're all part of the puzzle that God's building. I bring, each of you have a gift. Today, are you bringing your gift as a faithful manager of what God has given you? And last, but not least, I also build. I belong, I bring, I build. I build. You and I, you may not know it, you may not have fully grasped the revelation of it, but you and I are part of what God is building. And not only are we a part of it, we also are building it when we bring our gifts. Whatever gift it is, whether it's leadership, encouragement, hospitality, finances, whatever gift you bring, you're building what he's building. So when I belong to the body, because of the resurrection, I belong, I bring, and I build. The Bible says literally that we are stones, living stones. Today, maybe you thought, well, I just attend a church that's made out of stones. No, you are the stone that is the church. Peter, talking about this in 1 Peter chapter 2, says, as you come to him, Jesus, he is a living stone that was rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. So Jesus was the living stone that was rejected by men. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. Do you get the picture that Peter and Paul are writing in the New Testament? He's saying, you and I, we are being built up into a body, into a house, into a family, to be holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture. It says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. You and I are living stones. You and I are literally bricks, stones, and we bring our stones. We bring our lives. And as we put it in the hands of God, he begins to build his church. He's building his church. And today, I just wonder what we're building with our lives. In old ancient times, they were building this massive lighthouse. I believe it was called the Lighthouse of Alexandria, and it was a massive lighthouse, and it was gonna be literally one of the beautiful ancient wonders of the world. And they started building this project, and it took several years to build this lighthouse. And all that happened was one earthquake, and that lighthouse came down. And I started thinking about all the hours that men put into that lighthouse, all the work, all the effort, to build something that will not last. I think so many of us, we don't understand that we're living stones. When we put our faith, not rolling stones, living stones, when we put our faith in Jesus, we came alive. We learned about this last week. We came alive in Christ. And now with Christ, I build what he is building. How many of us today, we spent years, come on, I could pass this mic around the auditorium, every service, four services, and there's hundreds of us that would say, I was building my own ego. I was building a name for myself. I was building pride. I was building all these things, but I realized that with one small earthquake, a spiritual quake, or a mental, emotional earthquake, all that will come crumbling down. I think there's no better thing to build with our lives than the church of Jesus Christ. Because it's the only thing that no hurricane, no earthquake, no storm, no wind, nor waves will be able to destroy. Emperors have tried, prime ministers have tried, presidents have tried, but I wanna tell you, it's the body of Jesus that he's building, and no empire has been able to shut it down. It has survived time after time after time because it is the body of Jesus, the resurrected body. It is the great assembly that no nation can take out.
It is the great assembly that no emperor can destroy. It is God's assembly. It is the body of Jesus that you and I are a part of. I want to build that. Come on. I want you to stand up to your feet.